Amen. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. The last words of verse 41. Last words of verse 41. The Savior said, "Be thou clean." Be thou clean. Let's just look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father in heaven, as we turn now to thy precious word, and we think again of how the Savior touched people when he was here upon earth, we pray that he would touch us, that we would know the Holy Spirit's ministry coming through the word. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Be thou clean. There are two differences in this story than the other incidents we've studied. Up to now, the touch of the Savior upon people was as a result of friends bringing someone. They brought the blind man. They told him of Peter's mother-in-law, though of course Christ knew all about it, but they came and told him about her. The deaf man, there were people that brought the deaf man, but in this incident here, it was the man himself who came. That's an important thing to note. That's an important thing to note. Thank God you can come to the Savior. In fact, there's a duty on us individually to come. Come to the Savior. Make no delay. Here in his word, he has shown us the way. We touched on that in the Bible class this morning. Thank God as regards the way of salvation. That is made clear in Scripture. Oh, there's some things in Scripture that are difficult to understand. Peter even said that in his first epistle. But the way of salvation is made clear. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. Yet the Scripture is so deep, no human mind can ever fathom its depth and its mysteries. But yet the way of salvation is clear. Praise God for that. And then not only that is the first one we could say really here, but there's something else that's different from the other miracles that we've looked at up to now. You will read of the blind man, he was healed. The deaf man, he was healed. Peter's mother-in-law was healed. But did you notice when I read these verses, it doesn't say that about the leper. It doesn't say he was healed. Look at it again. I have these words underlined in my Bible. Look at the end of verse 40, what the man cried out. "If thou wilt, thou canst heal me." He said, "No, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." Look at the end of verse 41. "Be thou clean." End of verse 42. "And he was cleansed." You see the end towards the end of verse 44. "And offer for thy cleansing." Four times. Cleansing. You see, you read in Scripture when the leper, yes, we would say cured or healed, but the Bible talks about lepers being cleansed. That's very important, isn't it? So there's two things to note down when we're studying how the Lord touched people. Two things here he's bringing to our attention that are not mentioned, obviously, in the other stories. The leper was cleansed. The leper was purified. The leper was washed. Have you ever been around anybody who's absolutely filthy? I mean, of course, on their hands, the dirt. They've been working with, let's say, slurry, you farmers, or oil, and then they come in and they start to get the bread and they lift up the food for you. And make it worse, can you imagine a doctor and his hands are caked in blood from other operations and from dirt? And he's coming, he says, "Now it's your turn to operate." And you go, "Please. Please." But you know, let me tell you just for a few minutes and bear with me, because I think it'll illustrate the message tonight. People talk about the good old days. Medically, aren't you glad you're not living in those good old days? Because those good old days weren't so good after all, medically. Do you know it was just over 150 years ago when doctors didn't wash their hands? I know there's some nurses here tonight. It's true. You look up And those of you, of course, are au fait with the internet more than I am. There was a Hungarian doctor called Ignaz, if I can pronounce it here, Semmelweis. He died in 1865. He wrote books about cleanliness in operations. He worked in a hospital in Vienna. And he began to associate the not washing your hands between operations as a great cause of infection. And he became an early pioneer in the use of antiseptic procedures, washing his hands, and through chlorinated lime solutions. He went to work. In fact, he's called on the continent the saviour of mothers. The saviour of mothers. Because he insisted on cleanliness. And he discovered that there was a certain fever that many ladies would get when they were giving birth and after the birth, and many died. Some hospitals, it was 10% to 35% of women died as a result of childbirth. Doctors would come from doing autopsies upon dead bodies, and they would go straight in to deal with cases of women having difficulty giving birth, and here they were with their hands contaminated, working with dead bodies. And they were coming in and they didn't wash their hands and they were going straight. And in some hospitals, 35% of women were dying. He began to say, look, you need to wash your hands. He wrote a book, Etiology. I'm not even sure what that means. You nurses can tell us, I'm sure, Concept and Prophylaxis of Childbed Fever, as his title. He reduced, in the hospital where he was working, the mortality rate of ladies, women giving birth down to less than 1%. Now you'd think the doctors would go, wow, we'll have to introduce it. They laughed at him. You go and read it up. They laughed at him. They scoffed him. They said, don't be stupid. How could washing your hands have such an effect? And they ostracized him because he became fanatical about cleanliness. He ended up in a mental asylum where he was beaten up by the people in the hospital. And after 14 days, he died at age 47 in a mental asylum. But he's down in medical history as one of the great doctors who promoted cleanliness. But it wasn't until Louis Pasteur or Lister, isn't there a brand of mouthwash, Listerine? I can't remember his first name, Joe, well, I'm not sure, but Lister and Louis Pasteur, and they showed by the microscope the germs, the dirt that was there upon the hands of doctors' hands that were dirty. Now, why am I saying all this? Well, and I thought about that. I was thinking, what illustration can we use to illustrate this passage? You see, the leper had to be cleansed because the leper was filthy, he was contaminated. And the point is, there are so many millions of people on this earth and they feel, I'm all right. I'm not as bad as other people. And they don't see the dirt. Oh, they can watch things that are not right. They can say things that are not right. They can do things that are not right. But it's not as bad as somebody else. And why wouldn't God bring me to heaven? Of course I expect to go to heaven, but I'm not such a bad person compared to others. I'd put to you that's what many people believe if you were to talk to them. But if you were to take the microscope of the Word of God, as it were, by the Spirit of God, and shine it into their heart, it would be contaminated with sin. That's why we need to preach the gospel. We're back to where we started this morning. There's a following on, as it were. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And just as those doctors who laughed at that Hungarian doctor working there in Austria, and they laughed until they were soon told by other scientists how damaging this dirt is on the hands of a doctor. Oh, sin, how evil, how contaminated it is. We sang that hymn deliberately. Search me, O God. Search me, O God. Cause me to know my heart. Three quick things. There's the condition of the man. the condition of the man. The man came, of course, in verse 40, and he knelt down. He said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." What does he mean? I need to be washed. I need to be cleansed. If you're reading over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5 and verse 12, which is a parallel passage, Luke tells it. Luke, who was a doctor, of course, he uses a medical term translated in our King James as he was full of leprosy. He was full of it. What he means is it was all over his body. The disease had manifested itself. And you see, in the Bible, leprosy is a picture of sin. Picture of sin. Leprosy begins inside the body. You can't see it. Person looks fine, looks healthy. But you know, nowadays a blood test can be taken. And the blood test examined. It's done to the families of those who have leprosy. And of course we pray often for Dr. Bill Woods, who's been over 50 years working among the leprosy problem in Brazil, an expert. I travelled with 2 weeks with him years ago in Cameroon, driving him around leprosariums. It's amazing to learn all about the leprosy. But I'm saying, people who have the manifestation, it's over their body, you can't mistake it, the sores and so on. But then they'll test the family member, and they can take the blood and they can say, "You've leprosy, not me. Look, I'm fine. I'm all right." They can do the same with other diseases, malaria. Remember getting blood tests when we came back to New Guinea? We told the doctor we all had malaria, or GP, and he looked at us. "Oh, you don't know if we do, living in a malaria place. Of course you do." Now when our daughter was under one, we insisted she get a blood test up to the city. "You all have leprosy in your blood." "Of course we have. We knew that. Didn't tell us anything we didn't know." But when you're in remission, sorry, what did I say, leprosy? Malaria. Oh dear. Malaria. We all had malaria in our system, but same principle. You get the malaria from it. And in other words, a blood test shows it up. But the person looks all right. And there's so many today and they say, "Oh, I look all right compared to others." But they don't realize the leprosy is there. The leprosy of sin. I'm saying when you study leprosy, it starts small. And then it begins to grow. And then it begins to manifest itself in a spot outwardly. Then that spot spreads. And it spreads until, as this man I said, it says he was full of it. Oh, you couldn't mistake it now. The manifestation was there. But here's something. He was just as much a leper when you didn't see the outward manifestation. He had the disease. And everyone born into this world has the disease of sin. Of course, in some people, the manifestation of it is more vivid. And you look at their behavior, you say, "Look at the sin." But there's nobody that's without sin. That's the point we're making here. This man knew his condition. And the condition was such that it separated him from God, because he wasn't allowed into the temple. He wasn't even allowed into the city. Leviticus 13 said a leper in those days had to wear a veil over the bottom part of his face, and he had to cry unclean. If he met somebody in the road, he had to turn away and warn them. The Jews had added to that and said he had to be so many yards or cubits away from other people. And this man was isolated. Sin isolates us. Sin takes us away from God, separates us from God. That's another aspect here. Well, no doctor, no physician could cure leprosy. It was incurable. Only a miracle. And this man knew. He knew he was full of it. Contaminated with leprosy. He knew there was no hope. Only the Messiah. And that's why he came. And then we say to ourselves, why is it more people don't come to Christ for salvation? Why is it more people don't come to Christ for salvation? One of the answers is they don't realize their condition. That's why we preached this morning on the heart. They don't realize the condition. We live in a day when the doctrine that we call total depravity is not popular. And many people don't believe in that. Man's good. Or in many so-called evangelical centres too, they pay lip service to the doctrine of total depravity, but they don't preach it. I could give you an example of people like Rick Warren. Joel Osteen, I wouldn't even consider him to be an evangelical, but... And they actually say, when they're interviewed, we don't preach and use the word sin or repentance or hell. We don't want to offend people. We get them in and we preach a positive message, how the Lord Jesus can help them in their life. And the Lord Jesus can help them and make them happy and be a comfort to them. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. The Bible starts with bad news, that we're sinners. We need a Savior. We don't need an advisory. Oh yes, after we're saved, thank God we've a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Thank God we've one who's a comfort in time of trouble. But what we need is, like this leper, we need to be cleansed. But you see, so often we're ashamed to preach and ashamed to witness to people. And say, look, if you don't have Christ in God's eyes, you're like Isaiah chapter 1. From the very top of your head down to the very sole of your foot, you're full of putrefying sores that have not been bound up. Who, me? I'm a good person. Ah, listen, in God's eyes, in God's holy eyes, you're a leper spiritually. Of course that hurts. But until somebody sees that, they'll never call out to Christ for the cure. That's the point I'm making. You take men in Scripture. The Apostle Paul, he said his life was blameless. What he meant was, other people couldn't point the finger at Paul and said, you broke that commandment, this commandment, this commandment. They didn't see it. See, it wasn't, as we're thinking, in the full manifestation of sin, where you looked at people, oh, thieves, murderers. No, he wasn't in that. But down in his heart, he knew the seeds of those sins were there. And what did the Apostle Paul cry out? Woe is me, he said. O wretched man, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He said, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. What about the Apostle Peter? He fell at Christ's feet and he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. What about Isaiah after he had already been a prophet for some years? Oh yes, he had already been a prophet, serving the Lord. But he saw the Lord high and lifted up. In chapter 6 he says, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. What about Daniel? Nothing recorded about his life, and yet he fell down when he saw a vision of the Lord. What about John? Apostle John. On the Isle of Patmos, when he got a vision of the risen Christ, he fell at his feet as dead. These were servants of God. These were men who were believers and had been greatly used in some cases already. But they saw themselves. This man, he saw his condition. There was a great lady years ago. If you're interested in church history, George Whitfield, I'm sure you've heard of him, the great preacher. Well, there was a lady round about that time called Lady Huntington. Now, she was a lady, noble birth. And in fact, those of you who like to tour around England and parts of Wales, and you see a little, they call them chapels in England, a little small nonconformist church building. Many of them were built by money that Lady Huntington gave. She was a believer. Friend of George Whitfield, but she was a noble lady, Lady Huntington. And she gave, I suppose, maybe today, I'm guessing probably would be like millions today, to the cause of the Reformed evangelical faith. On one occasion, it's recorded she asked the Duchess of Buckingham, a very noble lady, to come and hear George Whitfield. The answer is recorded. She's answered, Lady Huntington, it's monstrous to be told that one has a heart as sinful as the common wretches that crawl the earth. This is highly offensive and insulting, and I cannot
but think or imagine that your ladyship should relish such sentiments that are such at variance with our high standard and good breeding. She certainly didn't see herself as a sinner. She didn't see herself as a sinner. This man is conditioned. Very quickly, I want you to notice the compassion of the Saviour. What did the Saviour do in verse 41? He touched him. Oh, thank God for the touch. He touched him. Can you imagine the shock of the disciples? Lepers kept away. Lepers walked hundreds of cubits away from somebody. Nobody touched a leper. And yet here's their master. As this man comes and falls in front of the Saviour, he touches him. Oh, what wonderful compassion, what wonderful love, a personal touch. Who knows how many years it was since this man was touched? We don't know. Was he married? Well, if he was, he couldn't be at home. He'd have to flee. Lepers had to be put away from society in those days. If he had children, he wouldn't have held them. He hadn't felt the embrace of children, a wife, family, friends. For possibly years if the leprosy wasn't its full manifestation. And yet here is someone touching him. We all know that a touch, a hug, an embrace expresses love, expresses sometimes sympathy, expresses compassion. Actually, the word here for touch in that verse, it's actually a word that means took hold of. Took hold of. He didn't just went, you know, you go, touch. But you take hold of something. You grip it. That's what that word actually means. The Saviour took hold of him. The Saviour embraced this defiled leper that nobody would touch. Oh, thank God for the touch of the Master's hand. No wonder Charles Wesley wrote, "Oh, that the world might taste and see the riches of his grace, the arms of love that compass me, would all mankind embrace." Tell me, have you ever felt the arms of Christ? I don't mean literally, but spiritually. That love of, that embrace of compassion of the Saviour. Have you felt his touch in your life? And how wonderful it is to tell people who have been made aware of the full horror of the disease of sin. And what a shocking discovery that is. In fact, oftentimes, as C.H. Spurgeon pointed out, it's often even after you're actually converted and saved that some of the full horrors of your sinfulness hit you. That's what Spurgeon said in his own life. Even after it, he used to think, oh, what a sinner. That's what Paul, of course, saved for years. In me dwelleth no good thing. But isn't it wonderful to tell someone who's burdened and sees the horror of sin, thank God the Saviour can touch you and cleanse you. That's the great news of the gospel. And look what happened in verse 42. It was a powerful touch. Immediately, the leprosy departed from him. You know, the devil tells two great lies, two big whoppers. He loves to tell people, don't listen to those preachers tell you you're a sinner. Man's basically good, and you're a fairly good person, and why wouldn't God bring you to heaven? Oh, listen, you need to see yourself. Get to the great physician and take the tests. The Bible will tell you what you're really like, what I'm really like, what we're really like. Ah, but then when somebody does realize what a sinner, then the devil comes and says, well, you're too bad to be saved. Somebody like you, God would never save. What would be interested in somebody like you for? You failed too much. He would say, actually, you made some type of profession years ago. It's not for you. But the devil's a liar. Thank God here, when the Saviour spoke the word, this man was healed. He was full of leprosy, but thank God he was gloriously healed.
There's a third thing to this story, and that is there was a change. Well, the change is obviously he was healed, obviously. But look at verse 44. See, they say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. A testimony. There was an obvious change. Because what's this all about, going to the priest? See, the priest can't save. Of course he can't. But this was for a testimony. This was to prove that he had been cleansed. This was to be proved that the Saviour had really done a work in his life. In the Old Testament, in Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14, two long chapters, especially the 14th chapter, there's a whole list of rules regarding leprosy. And what it stated in chapter 14 is this: if a leper was cleansed, and really there's no record of a leper being cleansed medically, you know, by the normal procedure of medicine anywhere in the Bible, no record of it. You have the record of some miraculous cures by God. But here was the rule. If a man who was a leper and his skin is cured, no longer are there those putrefying, open, ulcerous sores, but his skin is cured, he would go to the priest. The priest would look at the skin. He would go away for so many days. He would come back. The priest would look at the skin again and watch and look. And if after so many days the skin was still absolutely pure and no mark of the disease, the priest would announce, this man has been cleansed. Then what would happen? Wonderful ceremony. Wonderful ceremony. The priest would take two birds. He would kill one. The throat was cut. The blood was put in a basin with mixed with water. The priest would take that water and blood and he would sprinkle the leper. Be thou clean. Be thou. Now this is only ceremonially. See, it says there for a testimony. It's only ceremonial. Of course, it doesn't take away sin. It's a picture. But you see, the man is going through a picture, as it were, an object lesson, an illustration of what had just happened when he met Christ. And the blood is applied. And then the priest would take the other bird and he would put it in the water and the blood and he would release it. And as the bird flew upward, the blood and the water would be sprinkled, as it were, off its wings as the bird went heavenward. What's it telling us? It's a clear illustration. Salvation through the blood of Christ. Because all those sacrifices, whether it be the lamb or the bullock or the goat or the two birds, they're pictures of what Christ did on Calvary. And thank God there's spiritual cleansing for the leprosy of sin. Because the Lord Jesus Christ on Calvary shed his blood. And he's ascended up into heaven. And thank God we can say our sins are gone. If you're in Christ, if you've trusted him, if the Holy Spirit has applied the work of Christ, the atonement, are you washed in the blood? There's cleansing. We sang about the cleansing. Thank God your sins are gone. You remember this morning, the new covenant. I'll give you a clean heart. I'll put my spirit within you. Your sins and your iniquities will I remember no more forever. And so Christ said to this man, you go into the priest and you go and get it as a witness, as a testimony that you really are clean. You've been cleansed. Thank God. Thank God for the cleansing. And what happened to the man? He was reconciled to God. While he had the leprosy, he couldn't go into the temple where the priest was. Now he can. Thank God, when you come to know Christ as Saviour, you're reconciled. And you'll be one day in heaven. Remember what it says about heaven, naught that defiles can enter in.
Nobody with a leprosy of sin can enter into heaven, but thank God when you have Christ you can enter in. And then he was restored to mankind. He could now go and enjoy fellowship. He could enjoy fellowship with him. What a story. What a story. Let me remind you where we started. Here's the differences in the other stories of the touch. He came himself. You can come to Christ tonight. If you know yourself as a sinner, you can come. You can come. I've told many of you before, but it comes to mind. I remember the afternoon of a mission in the church. Young lad, 13th birthday. It was his birthday. He came to see me after the service. I had to put him at his ease. I said, "Oh, what is it?" And I said, "Are you saved? Are you?" "Yes." "Oh, that's well. When were you saved?" "Just a few moments ago." "Oh, you'll have to tell me what happened." Well, as the preacher preached, 13th birthday, and I brought up in a Christian home, churchgoer, 13-year-old. He says, as the preacher preached, "I realized what an awful sinner I am before God." 13. That's the Holy Spirit showing the condition. Oh, he hadn't the full manifestation of the outward, what we talk about, the sins of society. He's too young. But he said, "I realized I'm a sinner. And just sitting in the seat, I called upon Christ to save me." You know what that is? That's Mark 1 repeated. That's Mark 1. That's why this story's in the New Testament. That's why the story's here. It's not something that Christ did 2,000 years ago. It's something that he does today. Has it happened in your life? "Lord, make me clean. Make me clean." Let's sing and close.